Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to She's Raising the Bar,
Blog
Talk Radio.
Thank you, kids.
Everybody loves this.
Thank you, kids. You know, I think that the round tables go over the best, you know?
We enjoy it.
I mean, we enjoy our guests in general.
Right.
But the round tables are always really good. You know why? Because we start off with a certain framework for it.
And then we just veer off everywhere else.
And then it could go here, it could go there, and before you know it,
off topic completely.
But we bring it back around. It's like a Seinfeld episode.
Yeah, when we say goodbye.
Yeah. It goes in different directions. It's like three little different vignettes going on, and then all of a sudden it ties up nicely at the end. So, people, again, thank you for joining us. It's a rainy day in Gotham, and you are with, let me get this out of the way quickly, to my left.
Yeah.
Always close to my heart. Lovely Lee Ziegelman on her end of the mic. And yours truly,
Lori Towers.
Is me. Yes. Nice to Lori Towers is me, Lee Ziegelman. Yeah, she's going to just lift it up a little bit just because you can. Just because. And, you know, today's show is, I think you and I were discussing it last week because I was turned on. I'm usually late into the game as far as any type of show that's hot and current. I'm not a huge TV person, so I usually miss certain things, and I usually rely on Lee to tell me, you know, what's going on. And sometimes I just listen on periphery, and I don't really get involved.
Because I like The Housewives.
You like The Housewives, and you got me into that one, too. But this one, she had been saying for quite some time, The Handmaid's Tale, you definitely would like it. It's right up your alley. Really try to see it, blah, 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 blah. And I've been hearing this. And then finally, she got me the DVD set of season one. And without exaggeration, the first episode in, you're hooked. And it's frightening, it's surreal, and it's not surreal. It's actually, it hits home with the contemporary climate that we're in on so many levels that you actually remain seated.
Mm-hmm.
As you know, as each episode ends, you sit and you just have to digest everything that happened in that 45 minutes that it was on. And you realize how close we are to possibly what everybody refers to, the good old days of the 50s. You know, my challenge to that, it's okay if you were white, male, and Protestant. That was, it was the good old days then.
Yeah.
But everybody else who's outside of that that little formed opinion, you didn't have life that easy. You had levels of oppression everywhere you turned. You weren't able to be public with anybody who was of the same sex that you loved. That couldn't happen. Women didn't have a voice. Women didn't have rights over their bodies or reproductive choices. So wasn't the good old days. So let's remember that. And this takes us to a point where you realize we are just a couple of votes away to possibly going back to a place that we won't recognize or won't feel comfortable. And I think it's something that everybody should see now. Like-minded people will see the direct parallel. People that are standing with this administration and saying, oh, it could never happen again. I hope it never does, and unfortunately,
It'll probably happen.
Oh, and they happen quickly.
Things happen.
And they happen quickly. Before we get into that, all the morbid
mm-hmm.
details, and it's a serious topic, but that's one thing. We take serious topics, and we could be comical
make our point
easier to digest, like a spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down. But Lee, let me look at you and say from the bottom of my heart, how are you?
I'm good.
Anything,
very good.
Anything new in your world?
Everything is really basic, the same.
Nothing different.
How about you?
I think, you know, what's funny, when we're younger, when we're like in our 20s and teenagers, you kind of wait for all these explosive things to happen because then you feel like alive and you
mm-hmm.
feel like you're involved in something. Now at this age, it's like, you know,
life
quiet is good.
Life
quiet
you.
Is good. You know,
that's
no,
the way it
no
is.
Chaos is a very good thing. But our panel today is, you know, these people that are so wonderful to give up their time every month to join us. We have Nancy Donahue, who will be joining us just a little bit later today. She's running as we speak, and the lovely Patricia Martin. And everybody takes time out of their day to have a little chat because usually the topics are very important and certainly worthy of a roundtable discussion. And who do we have on so far? Do we have?
I think this is Patty.
I think we have Patty, Patricia Martin.
Should I put her
on? Yeah, put her on. Hey,
hello.
Darling.
Hello.
Welcome.
I'm on. Hi, ladies. How are
you? Patricia, how are you?
I'm doing great, thank you. How are you guys?
You're already giggling. What are you giggling about? Are you talking about us?
Just listening to you guys puts a smile in my voice. Even though we talk about very profound
so
and serious things, it's just such an absolute pleasure and joy to be on the round table in your company.
And you know what? If we never said it, thank you for joining us. Because I was even saying, believe people take time out of their day.
Yes,
nobody's just sitting at home doing nothing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we appreciate it, and we appreciate your input.
Yes.
I'd rather be here than home sitting doing nothing.
Yes. Well, thank you. And you know what I'm thinking? I think you have before Nancy had called me before and said she's going to be running a little late. You had brought something along that I think will lead us into the texture of our topic for today. You think you want to do it now, Patty?
Sure, why not? It would be great to open with it.
It'll be a good segue.
It's actually it's a poem about healing, and healing in every sense, physically, emotionally, spiritually. It was based on a conversation I had with an energy healer and some work that she had been doing with somebody. So without further ado, it's called Mary Magdalene. Mary Magdalene, gods and goddesses watched. They watched as she pulled the sword out from her back and held it up to the sky. Excalibur, from the deep recesses of flesh that long denied a memory too hot to hold, a memory too hot to hold, that burned and scorched the waking cells in her heart, scorched the waking cells in her heart and in her brain. And in the very depths of her soul, a memory of love that felt more like pain. The love felt like pain as she's learning to love herself. She's learning to love herself. She's loving herself now. And the curve of her back and the curve of her lips and the curve of her hips and belly as they rose and fell with the heat of her breath. They rose and fell on the night when the clouds raced across the moon to see which would collide with the horizon. Clouds racing across the horizon while Mary Magdalene combed her hair and prepared the oil to wash her beloved's feet.
And you know why this is perfect. Thank you, Patty. That, you know,
excellent. I have to give you a clap for that.
Thank
beautiful.
You.
And you know what's really nice about this is I think that we we had you read that, I think, for the Me Too show that we had, right? I'm trying to think.
I know I read it once before, and it had to be a relevant topic like
and,
that.
Right. And you want to know, and Patty hasn't seen.
This fits perfectly.
This is exactly what I'm saying. It, you have no idea how perfect that was, because what, once you see it, especially season one, there's a certain level of piety that is thrown around, and all everything that is done in the name of the higher power,
mm-hmm.
and it is just so hypocritical. And the sad thing is, it's most of it is executed by a woman called Aunt Lydia, and she's kind of in charge of all the handmaids. And it just, I can't wait for you to see it, particularly, Patty, because there are just so many things that you see that are just so wrong and so
cringy.
So coming close to
so
home
cringy.
That it's I didn't think I was going to get as involved in this show as I did. It's just crazy. It really
wow.
is.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's not something I would, you know, to be honest with you, it's not something I would normally gravitate to,
exactly.
but based
me
on
neither.
All the, you know, yeah, based on everything, you know, that well, you're, you know, you guys liking it certainly weighs in heavily, but, you know, so there's got to be some, you know, and it also is like almost like a movement or very powerful.
That's exactly right.
Yes. Yes.
That's exactly. And, you know, the
yes.
funny thing is Nancy's on deck now, and I contacted her, and I said, you know, can you weigh in on this? Did you see it? She didn't see it, but, you know, she binged it, and she's like, she texted me and said, I can't wait to get involved in this conversation. Let's just bring her on now.
I'm gonna bring her on.
Hi.
Cutie pie Nancy Donahue.
Hello? Hi, guys.
Hi.
Welcome back.
Oh, thank you. I'm so sorry, you know. The
Absolutely.
Appointment went a little bit over, but yes, so I'm so excited to talk about this topic today.
Now, did you saw season one, right?
Yeah, I said, all right, so here's the thing.
I got to
episode 6 of season one, and I was gagging. I couldn't watch anymore.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
I just was so
did you, huh?
disturbing
oh, yeah.
for me.
Yeah.
Yes.
It was so disturbing. You know, Lori, I tried to hang in there because I promised I would. I couldn't.
It's very hard. You know.
Yeah.
And what I was saying at the beginning of the show is, you actually don't move after, you know, the credits going up, and the choice in music, I think, is just amazing. The first one,
right.
I think, the first episode ended with Leslie Gore's You Don't Own Me.
Right.
And then the last one
right.
ended with Nina Simone, A New Day. And it was so carefully picked. But you sit there and you watch this and you just can't move because you have to digest it all. Because it's just too powerful.
Well,
so
Jeffrey was telling me, sorry to interrupt, Jeffrey was telling me that, because I remember seeing the image, right, somewhere in social media somewhere. And so I was talking to Jeffrey about it, and he said, so the people that were protesting in London with Trump are now wearing these, what
That's
do you
right.
call them, whatever.
Right.
Wow.
Yes, they were wearing this, and they were at the demonstration in London.
Yeah.
Because I saw the image somewhere, and it was kind of intriguing to me. I didn't know what it was, and I was, you know, probably skipping through. But Jeffrey told me that the other day, yesterday.
And the funny thing is, as I was watching the first episode, I was thinking that. I wonder if the next Women's March, if we're going to have those wings, the
yeah.
costumes.
Yeah, those things.
Because it makes perfect
yeah.
sense. And so now it's, yeah, it because you don't have to... You don't have to really dig too deep to see where it's all happening and how fast it's happening.
Right.
I think that's. I think, you know, and Patty, just to bring you up to speed. It's what's unique about this is it's a very strong narrative arc. I mean, there is somebody narrating it, and it's the person.
Yeah.
And having only seen season one. You don't really know the outcome. You don't really know, just because the person is narrating it and is reflective, you don't really necessarily say, well, you know, she definitely survived. Because if you remember Sunset Boulevard, the narration was William Holden.
Mm-hmm.
And the Sunset Boulevard, for anybody who didn't see it in the film, He's face down in a pool. That's how it opens up. They're fishing him out of Norma Desmond's pool.
And then it goes back.
Then it takes you through this wonderful, wonderful ride, and you get so involved in the movie, and then at the end you realize he's dead.
Right.
And he's just narrating. So I'm curious to see where this is going to go.
Yeah. Oh, it goes, I mean, I've seen
Don't
season
me.
Two, and it really it unfolds a lot more in season two. It does.
It does?
It really does. Yeah, especially in the political view. It does.
Now, was this based on a series of books or one novel?
I've heard that the first season was based on the book.
Okay.
The second
right.
season was made up.
Yeah.
So,
because the book may her soul rest, my mom read the book in 1995, Margaret Atwood. And I think she's still with us, Margaret Atwood.
Sure.
I think she is. But, I mean, there's only so much substance. I would imagine just season one, you know. But everybody's saying, if you haven't read the book, definitely read the book. The book is a lot harsher than So I can't even imagine that.
I know.
Wow. Patty, did you see it?
I have not seen it. I did some, you know, Googling and research. I was saying, you know, before you got on, it's not a show I would normally gravitate to, and I think I'd probably find it relatively revolting.
Yeah.
You would probably throw up. I'm going to try to finish. I'll take it one episode at a time. I will try to finish it, but I had to go back to something that I'm really interested in. But it just, Patty, it's really so disturbing. It's just so disturbing. It makes you sick. It really makes you think, though.
Yeah. It really makes you think and get, you know, a little scared inside, because this could really happen.
Yeah.
Because this is based on the future. It's not based on the past. It's based on the future. And the way our future is looking, we don't know. We really don't know.
No, I know. And Harry, you know, you guys know Harry. He said, talk to him about it, and he said, Nancy, this could be tomorrow.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, because I think he's known about it for a long time. So this could be tomorrow. I'm like, over my dead body.
And,
I'd rather be dead.
But the brilliance of this is they don't give you any absolute timeline as to how quickly it happens, but you get to see. It just starts happening, and you don't know how quickly. All of a sudden, they're going into a store, they're denied credit, and then then they're called sluts, and then from there, it's just this rapid decline, and it brings you to where she is.
I think it's done brilliantly. I really do.
Yeah,
but that's me.
From the clips I've seen, they look like what would I say? You know, nuns behind bars or something. I mean, nuns who have been arrested. And
There's a very flying nun kind of look to those, the wings that they call it.
Right.
And you know what?
Incarcerated nuns. That's what they look like. Incarcerated
exactly.
nuns.
But
you're right. That's exactly. And you know, the sad thing is, you could see that only in one season, certainly women are the most oppressed, but it's everybody. Nobody is happy with this. The men are not happy with this. It's a society where nobody really profits when you think about it. Nobody is really winning.
You have no choice, though. You have to, you have to just go with it. Otherwise, you're dead.
Yeah.
Well,
they'll kill you.
Yeah. There is, and this is what I always say, in solidarity, Nancy, and I think this is something that happens in, I think it's the 9th or the 10th episode, where there is hope. It gives you hope that the powers that we can create when we all stand together, when one person stands up and says, no, I will not. It's kind of like I Am Spartacus. It's just, it has that kind of theme to it. Where you realize powers are shifting, and the powers that be are starting to recognize that in numbers, people can just overthrow any government, any empire. It's just a matter of time and being cohesive enough to do it.
Right.
So I think watch for that.
Okay. Well, that's hopeful.
it is. But it is a very hard watch. It is a very hard watch because it's, you know, and the thing about this is, and Alit and I were saying, you could, I know that certain people will say, oh, yeah, well, you know what, it really can't happen. Everybody who voted to the contrary, it really can't happen. But, you know, it, the most likely victim is always going to be women. We always will, you know,
right,
full surrender to the powers that be. But it could happen to anybody. It just is a matter of who the weakest group is at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Exactly. It all depends on the government. I mean, look at World War II.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think that's the only decent war because, I mean, we had to step in and stop that.
Right.
But see, that's exactly, it's like one person changed everybody's mind.
Right, exactly.
And, you know, and that's what I'm saying. And
you know, what was interesting about World War II, there was a short, I think it only had 6 episodes, a very short run of a limited run of a BBC show called The Bletchley Circle. And it was based on a true story about these women during World War II who were recruited on a secret mission because they all had very, very particular talents. You know, I think I know about this. Yes,
yeah.
One of them was like an ace code breaker, and one of them had a total
photogenic
memory, you know, and so forth. And at the end, they were instrumental in the war effort, instrumental in turning the tides. And at the end of the war, they were released of their duties, and they could not tell a soul, including their spouses.
Wow.
They went back to being like the little, you know, the little housewife or the little, you know, or whatever it is. They were the shop girl or whatever it is they were doing beforehand. But it just goes to show you that they, you know, even though they made this terrific contribution, they really were unsung heroes. They got no recognition whatsoever.
And that's
really
the case.
Yeah, how terrible.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I think sometimes, I mean, even if you don't get the praise is always nice.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you were.
But the fact that they were forbidden to even talk about it to their spouses, you know, not whether or not they had a ticker tape parade thrown for them, but the fact that it was totally and completely, you know, I guess it's like being a secret agent or something,
right,
you know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. This is what I was looking for, actually. This is what I want to, and I think I read this once before, but this is kind of summing up what I mean about, you know, how people have to assemble, even if it doesn't really affect you, because a lot of people say, you know, well, you know, Roe versus Wade, it's never going to be overturned and blah, blah, blah. And, but, you know, I don't think that if we go state by state, I don't think it will happen in New York State. I think we have a level of push here that we definitely won't have something like that happen here. But a lot of people saying, well, you know what, it doesn't really affect me because I don't have a daughter. I don't have this. And my answer is always, it will affect you eventually because if you stand by and let this happen, something is going to happen that will affect you. And this is what I always think of this piece that was written. It's called First They Came for the Jews. First they came for the Jews, and I did not speak out because I was not a Jew. Then they came for the communists, and I did not speak out because I wasn't a communist. Then they came for the trade unionists, and I did not speak out because I was not a trade unionist. Then they came for me, and there was nobody left to speak for me. And that is what we have to remember.
That's a good one.
And this was Morton Niemöller, and that was written, oh, God, probably in the 20s.
Wow.
And that's what I'm saying. It's just a matter of, okay, and that's the wonderful thing about protest.
I was just going to say, it's just like protesting.
You show up for everybody.
Right.
Show up for everybody because, okay, it might not be me, but, you know, I'm going to defend somebody who wants to marry a person of their gender.
Right.
Well, it's all very, we're all very symbiotic, you
That's
know.
That's right.
It's an ecosystem in a way, you know, its own system. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You can't
but
separate
that's,
out. It's
yeah.
all in, we're all intermingled. Everything, bottom line is the ripple effect. Everything affects everything ultimately.
That's right. That's exactly right. Mm-hmm. And
but,
you know
but
what?
But that's why. Go ahead.
No,
No, but that's why, just to that point, that's why I thought it was so brilliant, the demonstration. I'm going to go back to that in London and how they all came together and that, you know, for us,
mm-hmm.
you know,
exactly.
and for them as well, but it was more, I thought it was incredible, and you know, they never allow such demonstrations in London. And so, for obviously, for the reason that they did it, you know,
it
they put
like
it all together.
Showing, right, they're showing us how much they care about
yeah.
us, and they're, they're going to demonstrate for us because
right.
of us.
Right. And I just thought it was so brilliant and so, I don't know, I was really overwhelmed. And
And we would never do that. How come we would never do that? We would never protest in that kind of mass.
Well, you know something, I think we,
people.
I think we would for other countries. If something this atrocious was happening, of course we step in. That's the beauty of this country. We do step in.
We do step in, but then we have a lot of people that are, again, we're going to say Trump voters, and they're just, they're so far out of the realm of what reality really is. And how it's creating such a horrible ripple effect because of one person.
Well, you know,
and they think, it's us.
But listen, I was watching the news this morning, CBS, which I watch every morning, and they had a soybean farmer on, you know, and they're forming these huge tax laws back and forth, China, here, there. And he voted for Trump. And they said, are you still happy that you voted for Trump? And he's like, yes.
You know, it doesn't make sense. It really doesn't make sense. Give it another 6 months, and this guy has to file for bankruptcy because it's going to happen.
Yeah,
right.
Because what we're going to end up doing to the farmers is we're going to create like corporate welfare. Farmers want to farm, and they're not going to want to be funded any other way. And this is what we're creating, and it's just it's not good for the morale of the country, and nobody sees that yet.
No.
I think the morale of the country really went downhill since he became into office because everybody hates everybody now.
But the interesting thing, too, is
I just wanted to finish
on this topic. But so I was just in China, as you guys know, and what I had to bring, because I'm bringing product back into the United States from China, and I had, and we asked the question to the factory owner, you know, how is this going to affect us? You know, is this, and they said, don't worry, we have it all taken care of. They know what they're doing over there, let me tell you. They said they're not worried about it at all. So in other words, they'll probably do A, B, and C to get us under the wire, so there's such a huge tax effect on us. But the Chinese know what they're doing, I'm going to tell you
that.
Well,
yeah, they've been in production forever, and that's where we get everything,
but, you know,
and that's what he wants
to
stop.
Well, the truth is, you know, everybody who is in a – everybody knows who this guy is. Anybody who's running a country knows who this guy is, and you have to have a plan B, C, and D when you deal with him. Because, you know, the thing is, you can't think of the collapse of your own economy to, you know, have some sort of peaceful trade with this guy.
Yeah.
Right.
So it's not going to harm. It's not going to harm you in any way. It's not going to slow down production, right?
No. They have a way under. They have a way under his, stupid law. Oh no! And you know, this is a huge factory that produces tons and tons and tons of the technical goods, such as walkie talkies, and believe it or not, those things still sell. Like they're their top seller. But so they're in big manufacturing. Not worried at all.
Because, you know, the funny thing is when you were going there, I was thinking, I wonder. But, yeah, that's good. And it's good that you went. You know,
good to make face. You have to make face with the owners and things like that. And it's a very difficult culture, trust me. I woke up crying one day. But
why was that?
Just because, first of all, I was very tired, and I got to China, Dongguan, which is the factory town where our units are produced, and you walk into this big fancy 5-star hotel, and then you walk through the door and the smell just kicks you. I mean, and it's just, I don't know what it's due to. It's due to there's no ventilation, no nothing this, nothing that. I don't know if it was super clean. The rooms are dark. And there were big rooms. But this one thing for me, I can stay in a junky hotel. I don't care. But if it's the smell.
Oh, yeah, me too.
I woke up and I just was hungry and tired. And I was like, how am I going to get through this? How am I going to get through it? I put perfume on my pillows. The people were really nice. Don't get me wrong. Everybody was really nice and sweet. No English spoken whatsoever.
Oh, wow.
No, we had a translator. And, you know, you go through the factories and you see these young people working really hard. And these, the factory conditions were pretty good, I would say, considering I've heard about other factories. But they work their butts off. And it's just, you know, to go to see it for real in real life, and it's just, you have to, like, mentally prepare. I'll be so much better prepared when I go the next time. But it's really overwhelming, and I'm grateful for everything I have on my body, in my house, you know, the food I eat, and everything else, because, wow, it's third world.
So you're telling me you're in a 5-star hotel and it smells?
No. Elite, I can't even tell you. I can't even tell you the smell.
Really?
I don't know what it was, because it's not ventilated at all.
It sounds very unsanitary.
Yeah,
that's what
sanitary.
I'm thinking.
It was.
What are you smelling? You're smelling some fumes or something.
It's something I can't even describe it. And I would just gag, and I would try to hold my breath. And then they had a swimming pool. You know, I just need to. In order to get my mental, I don't know, just get back malice in my own head, I ran the parking lot because there were trees, and I wanted to smell trees or greenery. There was greenery around, and I had to be safe, so I had to stay in the parking lot. So I was just running around like a rat in a wheel.
Oh, wow.
But that was the only way I could keep my head together, was through exercise.
That's typical anyway.
Wow.
Right. Huh. Oh, no. I can't, so I would sit on the, you know, going to the bathroom, I'd look in the shower, and then I said, oh, my God, it's really dirty.
Oh.
Because it's a whole facade. You know, they have these glass doors, and then there's sort of a circular shower with glass doors that close. I didn't close the doors because I didn't want to get stuck in there.
Oh, my God.
Oh, I would have never stayed.
I had no choice. There was no other place to stay.
Oh, my God.
There really
wasn't. All the places are like this?
Yes, in China, in this particular city.
Wow.
But you have to know that there are people from Hong Kong that go to, there are nice places in China because they vacation in China.
Sure.
But just remember, this is a factory city. Dongguan is a huge factory city.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow.
But
and
there are pretty parts of China. I don't know what I smelled. I can't tell you, Lee. I don't know what it was.
Fumes probably from all the factories that go through the doors.
I hate to say it. It's probably mold, too.
It's got to be
so
unhealthy.
Oh, gosh. And anyway.
You know, on that note, completely off topic, but Patty, I think, knows this about me. I know Elite knew. I had a problem many years ago with antiques.
Right.
I could not go into an antique. Mm-hmm. I could not.
The mold, the dust.
That's exactly right. And when I was living upstate, we lived, you know, in a town where when people would come up for the weekend, they would say, oh, I want to go to, because it's like an antique shop on every block. And what would happen is it got to a point that I would have to wait outside for them because I couldn't go in. Because I remember one time I went in, a bunch of friends came up, and I said, let me just go in and just try to conquer this. I was in an antique store for exactly 1 minute, and I ran out to the curb and threw up.
Wow.
And
wow.
It was the smell. It was the smell of anything. I'm better now. Now I could actually go and you know, enjoy an ant, but it was the smell of anything old, even an old book. And it just, I couldn't think, just went outside and I threw up. And
you would have never lasted a half an hour in this hotel.
I would have been on the next plane home.
She skeeves anything, let alone something
with dirt,
something legitimate.
Oh, and smell? Oh, I'm dead.
Yeah.
Kill me.
You have to do for business.
But then I went back to Hong Kong and treated ourselves to a very fancy hotel.
I didn't care.
I don't care.
That was
worth it in the end. Yep.
But, you know, getting back to the London protest, one of my friends was there, and she was saying that she was there on business. And she said,
she never felt more at home because everybody was unified against him.
Yep.
And now the fact that we're getting those baby Trump balloons, I love those.
I don't know this. What?
Well, you know the baby,
they had those
the little
big,
baby Trumps.
Yeah.
The big balloons
they
are available
had.
Here now. So
but
at,
you know,
at every protest we have, you will see us having those baby Trump balloons.
You're kidding
me. But you
me.
Know, it's I can't bear to hear his voice. I can't
mm-hmm.
bear
right.
to see him. I can't bear cartoons or caricatures of
yep.
him.
Right.
I just find it just completely repulsive.
Yeah.
Me
and,
too.
And, you know, again, every time I was watching any one of these episodes, his face was in the background, not literally, of everything that went on. Everything.
Yeah.
You know, and
so
then,
let's
you know,
just, yeah.
Go ahead.
No, I just want to bring this up because this really crosses my mind quite a bit. What do you think? How do you think his family is? Like, how can they see all this happening? What do you think they feel, think? I don't know. I would be mortified.
Well,
his wife, his poor little son.
Well, you
I mean,
know
I
his
think,
wife hates him.
Yeah.
You know his wife hates him, but she cannot leave him, and they will never let
well,
that
I think
happen.
He's got, I think he's got something on her.
Right. Well, I don't think so. Just like Hillary, she couldn't leave Bill
but
at that
I think
time.
That, I think there was a genuine love there. I think
yeah,
there,
but
there was.
Still, I don't think that she...
I do, too.
They are... Maybe she's just not a citizen, and they'll deport
That's
her.
What I'm saying. There's something.
You know, you never know. But
it was a match
bully.
Made at the bank. Come on.
Yes,
oh, of course.
Of course.
Of course.
Of course. Definitely.
But, you know, to Nancy's question, I don't think any of them know any. They live in a vacuum. They don't know anything but his behavior all their lives.
Right. They're used to that. And you know what?
The norm.
Yeah, that's a good
right.
point. Yeah.
He's been like this. He's not changed. He's always been arrogant this way. We're
no,
not used
I know.
To it.
I know, but now he's the president of the United States.
Yeah, and
he's
more arrogant.
All these, he's
right.
making all these just, I don't even know
it.
What to.
I honestly think he's losing it. I think,
yeah.
there. I mean, for first of all, there is no way that a human being that is that overweight and under a good amount of pressure, the fact
right.
that he has not had a stroke yet is just
I
by
know.
The grace of God.
Yep.
And every time I see him, his face is redder, and he just looks like he's going to pop. So,
well, he did age, if you notice.
Oh, of course he did.
Every president aged, but he aged.
Yeah.
You know, even
oh,
though
yeah.
he's getting everything his way, I'm just saying he did age. It's not an
yeah,
easy
Yeah, and the
job.
Makeup's getting more orange and more orange.
Yeah. But you know something? He can't walk. I mean, when this is over, and it will be one day, His going back into society is not going to be the society he knew where he actually was liked by celebrities.
Right.
Everybody hates him, except
you know what, Laurie? That's so funny you brought that up because I was just thinking about that. I think today or yesterday, what's it going to be like when he goes back into society? It's so funny you brought it up. It crossed my mind.
Well, look what they did. They ruined. What was they
what,
broke his star again in the Hollywood.
Oh,
right.
Oh,
this
oh,
is
oh.
the second time they somebody broke it.
Yeah.
They broke what?
They broke his star in
Hollywood.
Hollywood. A guy with a violin case came with an axe in it and just chopped at it and broke
yes.
the whole star.
Oh, you're kidding?
Yeah.
No.
I didn't know.
This is just on the news.
This
yeah.
is the second one that they did.
Yeah.
They did it in
you know, in a way, you know. Listen, I'm not a fan of him at all. Don't
what?
Get me wrong.
What?
But I just think that, in general, as always, the media makes it worse than it is and puts it in your face 24/7, and makes and riles up every human being that hates him.
But
because the people that love
him... No, but they have to, though. They have to, Elise. He's making such cluster... you know what
listen,
I'm going
to... And you think the media is going to work on that? They're not going to... They're
but
just
now,
going to make
but,
it worse.
No, but the thing is...
No.
In this
go
case,
ahead.
We need to know. The
yes,
media
exactly.
Again, is there always going to be a story angle? There has to be.
Yes.
That's the machine that works.
That's
however,
what I'm trying to
no,
say.
No, no, no. However, the reason that all of this is coming out is because of the media.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and God bless them, they're not stopping. You're digging into and now, and I hate to say it, I'm happy to say it, it looks like we're going to get our way. I mean, Cohen is going to start singing like a canary, as will everybody
yeah.
else.
Nobody's
that's
going to sing.
Nobody's
going to sing.
You think not?
I don't know. We're 2 years in already. Nobody said a thing. And everybody's gotten fired.
Yeah.
What's
yeah,
going
but I
on?
Think I...
What's going on? He's doing bad, and everybody else is getting fired.
No. But you know something?
You,
nobody else has what they have on him. And there are eight tapes.
So why aren't they coming forward?
Well, don't forget, they can't just go on Eyewitness News and start talking. Their lawyers.
No, there's a lot of legal mumbo jumbo before they can do, you know.
And I think it's going to happen before November. But we still got to get seats in the House. We still got to get a Plan B to get the Dems in there.
I know.
But it
doesn't matter. The
Republicans
still don't like him.
Well, not enough Republicans.
No.
Like, God bless John McCain, who is the only one who, and he's going to be leaving us soon.
So that's
the thing. It's just.
But the world, I mean, the United States has been turned upside down.
Bringing my point back around to a woman's right to choose, and it's not that, you know, it's going to directly affect anybody that's on the phone with us now. It probably won't, but it's just the intent that somebody would decide we're going back to this. See, that's the thing. Whether or not it ever affected any one of us, it's just the fact that somebody's intention is to roll the clock back, just based on, you know, a God's teaching that may or may not exist. And believe me, I believe in God, but I think my God is a God of love.
Right.
And there's not
equality and all that
exactly,
stuff.
Exactly, and doesn't judge who you love and blah, blah, blah. That's my God.
Yeah.
So that's all I'm saying on that. But, Patty, you definitely have to, definitely, you have to.
I think she would enjoy it.
I think she would.
I think she really would enjoy it.
I don't know.
I don't know if that's the right word.
The whole thing is like turning me off. It's like, do I really want to echo myself
riveting.
To that?
I just think it's such a riveting show. It just doesn't make you stop looking at the TV screen. It's just because one thing happens after the other. One thing happens after the other. It's just I thought it was brilliantly done.
I'm going to be honest with you. I think that somewhere out there, there's probably at least a few college professors that are using this in their classroom.
Oh, I'm sure.
Because it is of absolute value to anybody who's thinking about an oppressive class.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it doesn't have to be women. And any oppressive class. And, you know, the how-tos and the how-nots. And I think in that sense, certainly enjoys is not the word, but it makes you want to do something.
Right.
And however it is,
that makes
you
want to think too.
Yeah.
Think a lot. You know?
I mean, even if Patty was like just writing a piece.
Right.
That's her contribution. Yeah. You know, not everybody's going to go out and
No.
But however you could contribute to this whole thing, this movement, this pushback, I think that's how best this little piece, this little series serves you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right, I'll watch a couple more episodes. I have to, like...
I think you'll see...
If you can get past 10 and then go into the second season, it really does wind up into, you know, things like going back into where it started and why, and you see that one of them... You know, doesn't like it anymore and wants out. So it's a really good.
Okay.
I'm telling you, it really gets better.
What's
really
interesting
I'll do
is
it.
That is it a BBC or a US production?
It's on Hulu.
It's on Hulu.
But I mean, who produces it, or is it a US?
It's actually MGM.
MGM. You know, what's interesting is the fact that it made it to into production at all. Can you imagine trying to pitch that? It's an interesting, kind of esoteric topic. So the fact that it got produced at all, I wonder if a lot of women pushed it through.
Well, here's the thing.
I'm just going to ask a question. When was it produced? When did it come out? Because the book was out in 95, right?
Right. I think this came out 2 years ago.
It's pretty current.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's pretty current.
So that's, I'm sure... And I want to go back
think
and
about
the
it.
Book.
It was like 2 years ago. Trump became president.
But that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So it's
it
like
could have been pushed because of that.
And as were so many different things.
Yeah.
I mean, our show was a format change then. So using the obstacles as a vehicle is I think what a lot of women are doing.
Right.
And the director is probably like, I don't know if you saw her. She's probably like maybe 35, 40.
Yeah, she's young.
She's a young woman.
Wow.
Okay, now I just looked it up. It's
good.
An American dystopian drama web TV series created by Bruce Miller.
Okay.
Based, so is it produced by a guy, which is, you know, which is good, but
yeah, absolutely.
Interesting. I mean, interesting. Let's see. Bruce Miller, based on, starring, blah, blah. Executive producers, pretty mostly men.
Yeah.
Oh, and Margaret Atwood is one of the producers, too.
And she is still with us, yeah? She's got to be great.
I guess so. I mean, just click on her. Yep.
She's got to be in her 80s, yeah.
Yeah,
what
she was born in 1939.
Wow.
Okay.
Yeah. So what other books does she have? I know
she's got a zillion of them.
Yeah.
Gosh.
Wow.
I looked it up and it's like, holy jamoli, she makes me feel like a slouch.
Wow. But that's amazing. That like at the last part of her life, you know, it's great that she's going to come. I mean, I'm sure her books are selling left, right, and center now.
Yeah, because I really want to read the
book
now.
Yeah. My mother, like I said, I remember my mother reading it and saying, you absolutely have to read it. Just never did. Never.
Oh, my
down.
Gosh. Ruth. It says she has 331 books. Are you kidding? Maybe
really?
Wow.
I don't think she could have written that many. Let's see.
That's a lot.
On Goodreads. It must be people offering them.
Okay.
But, oh, my gosh. No, she's got a million of them. Prolific thing. Wow.
Well, I think, you know, this one obviously is you know what I like to think of, it's a little bit, it's a cross between 1984, Orwell's 1984, The Lottery's Shirley Jackson, and Stepford Wives, all rolled into this weird mix.
Yeah. Okay, it says she wrote 16 novels, 10 books of nonfiction, 8 collections of short fiction, 8 children's books, and 1 graphic novel, as well as a number of small press editions in poetry and fiction. She is really prolific. And I mean, what a mind for the generation that she grew up in.
Yeah, that's
to write something like this. I mean, really, it's not like it. I mean, she had to be a pioneer.
Yeah. Is she a Democrat or Republican?
I would be surprised if she was a Republican. Not to say anything,
I know,
that they can't be thinking or progressive and so on.
No, but I'm curious. I'd be really curious.
I would say she'd have to be a Democrat.
I would think so.
There's a couple of quotes from her. Listen to this.
Go ahead.
Men are afraid that women will laugh at them. Women are afraid that men will kill them.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Is that intense?
Yeah.
And then another one is,
you know,
don't
something? I think that was brought up in season 2, those 2 quotes.
Uh-huh.
Oh, wow.
Really?
No, that's
that
one sentence.
In,
yeah, men are afraid women will laugh at them. Women are afraid men will
kill
them.
Yeah, I think that was brought up in season 2.
But what was the inscription on the closet? Doesn't it have something to in Latin?
It was in Latin. I forgot what the exact translation was. Yeah.
But it had, I remember, because that was probably with the last show, and it had something to do with making fun of men, I think.
Yeah.
Or laughing.
Yeah.
And
definitely 3 more in, and if that's the exact quote, it all comes together. You'll see how it happened.
Okay.
Yeah. And I don't think it's really, I think it's a little bit tamer, you know, as I think you got, in season 1,
got
past all the really
the brutal stuff. Now the rest is just
the
story.
Okay. All right. I'll hang in there.
And the last episode is absolute solidarity, and that gives, like I said, you actually breathe and say, okay, yeah, there's hope for this. There's a march
the
and
first,
move, there's
the
a
first.
Movement. Oh, don't be a spoiler, Lee.
Not
don't tell
be a spoiler.
Me.
But they do suffer every time they try to stick together.
Well,
they do suffer.
You know, that's usually the case. You sacrifice a generation to move, you know, the future in the direction you need to.
Yeah.
So.
What do you girls think about Patty? How old's your daughter?
Oh, I don't have a daughter. That
Lee, no, she's 22.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. No, I was. Has your daughter watched it?
She's the one that introduced me to it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, my daughter's very political. She's very political.
Yeah.
Very big liberal.
Oh, okay.
And see, that's what I love.
The millennials are very, very political.
And you know, I always say, because I always say they're lazy, they're this or that.
They are.
But you know,
but they're very political.
They're going to contribute to humanity in a way that we haven't.
Yeah.
You know, so not us in general.
Yeah, I think
but, you know,
so. Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, they're getting involved, and you know, at the Women's March, there was every woman there. There were women that were wearing signs that said, "I never thought I'd have to do this again," because they're like 80.
Right.
And then you get the 21-year-olds who are screaming and yelling, and
yeah, you're not going to ruin my future.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. No, I think they're going to be very active and proactive. Yeah.
Oh, definitely, definitely.
Yeah.
If they get off their butts, that's the thing.
Well, yeah. Well, that's a different story. That's a different story. Yeah.
Social media, I think, broke the kids. They really did. They became
it's
lazy.
Terrible.
Everything is online. They don't have to do much. It's just, it's not a good thing.
No, it isn't. I was talking to one of my yoga friends who's sends her kids, and she's a very bright psychologist, psychiatrist, and she sent her kids to camp, you know, as a lot of people in New York do, and a no-device camp. And I asked her the question. I said,
wow.
Well, how are you going to bring them back into, you know, this world, New York City world, with the devices? She said, you know what, that's a really good question. I have to really figure it out. I said, yeah, you do. I said, it's just like someone coming out of rehab into
rehab.
The real world.
Exactly.
Yeah, and it's the same. And I said, so, not telling her what to do by any means, but I just said, you know, you should really think about that, you know.
I never even knew they had something like that. Well, I mean,
But a lot of these camps are device free, which thank God should be.
They're what?
You know,
sorry.
Device free.
Oh, good. That's great.
Yeah. No, but that's the way it should be. I mean, they
no,
need a break.
Listen. I was a camp counselor for years. I mean, there was no such thing as devices then. You know, if you want to call your mother,
no.
You call her on the phone.
Yeah.
That was
right.
It.
Right. Write a letter.
Right, exactly. You come down visiting day. You know, that's the way it was.
Well, I have a friend who actually has her kids. You know, before you sit at the table, you put your phone in the basket before you sit at the table.
Yeah.
They have like one meal
a
day.
Well, I don't like that at the table either. I mean, everybody should just be sitting and talking.
It's just an hour.
You know.
Yeah, I remember seeing at a very nice restaurant, there was a multi-generational family that came in, you know, undoubtedly to celebrate somebody's birthday.
Mm-hmm.
And the youngest one was like this, I don't know, he had to be like, he looked like he was about 9 or 10. And the whole family's sitting there, lovely place, and this kid did not lift his head his device. And I looked at it, and I'm like, oh, my God, that is like an unholy light shining on his face, you know.
Yep.
And, And I have
so sad.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Sorry,
really
Tabby.
Oh, I have a friend who brought her her three grandkids. She has this very cool, old, funky, you know, what do they call those things you live in and you drag them. I forget what.
Yeah. Oh, like a Winnebago?
Yeah, kind of like, but like one of those like like round silver bullety looking ones.
Oh, yeah.
Very
cool.
Oh,
no, those are cool. Those are like the Streamline or something. What are they
called?
Like for Air
Streamer.
But
it's an oldie.
Yeah.
It's an oldie goldie one.
Yeah.
And she she brought her three grandkids on a trek. I think it was to New Hampshire woods or something like that.
Yeah.
And she would not, they were like, I think they were like 9 to 12 or somewhere in that range, and she would not let them bring their devices.
Yeah.
And they were really upset for the first day. By the end of it, they talked about how it was the best vacation they ever had. They went fishing, they told stories, that, you know, it was just.
I love it. I love it.
Each other.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's liberating, you know. I mean, because let's be serious. I always say, if you really need to be somewhere, then certainly be there instead of checking your phone. If there's like a life and death thing, then be where you're supposed to be. But everything else could wait.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when my phone rings, you know, I'll
look
at it because my phone never rings. It's never really an emergency. But if it's John or somebody, of course I'm going to pick it up because he'll never call.
Right. You always know when somebody's going to call.
But I'm not checking it.
Right.
Right.
No, but this is what I don't understand. I mean, you know, it's the people, you know, I live up here on the Upper West Side. They have it in their hand in front of their face the entire time.
Mm-hmm.
And it just makes me sick to my stomach. I never pull my phone out. I never answer it on the street. It's in my bag. I can do everything when I get home. No text needs to be answered right away, except for when I was going to be late for the show.
You sweet thing.
No, it really, bring a book on the train. Once in a while, I'll see somebody reading a book. I'll go, kudos to you, baby. You know, good for you, reading a book instead of the flipping phone. I can't stand it.
Yeah.
And you know what's funny, that these days, I mean, when I had Ricky and she was very small, I used to put her in front of the TV. That was the instant babysitter.
Sure,
okay?
Of course.
Yeah,
now, if you're in a restaurant, what do the mothers do? They give them their phone, okay?
Yeah.
And that's what the babies do. They play with their phone.
Here's the difference. I did the same. I was a single mother, and I worked, and I had to put George in front of the TV when I was making dinner and this and that. Da, da,
right.
Da.
I mean, come
but,
on.
But, when we went out to dinner, he didn't need to have anything in his hands. I never brought even a book. We talked, you know,
right.
Even when he was, you know,
that
I don't care, 6 months
of this. Right. You'd be social with
but
the people around you.
That's the way it is, you know. And, you know, when we have this family party, you know, if his grandmother sees him on the phone, she'll scream at him.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It's because
it's very
it's
rude.
Just,
it's a rude thing.
It is rude. It's totally
rude. And, you know,
rude.
Nobody is intentionally being rude, but it's just become the norm that you realize.
Right, you're going to miss something.
You know, you're not looking at the person who's next. I mean, I've been at my niece's house, and she's sitting there with her little cousin. And they're sitting side by side, and they're texting each other.
Yeah.
Like, what the hell
that's
are
crazy.
You doing?
Oh, I've seen that in restaurants with kids,
well,
you know, the
your,
teenagers.
Look at your cousin, what's wrong with you?
Yeah. Today I was in the gym, and I'm right next to the basketball courts when I do my cardio,
right.
And they're all sitting on the phone, sitting on the floor playing with their phones. They're not even playing basketball.
What?
Yeah, they were sitting on the floor playing with their phones. I wanted to take a picture, but I didn't want to be, like, you know, so obvious about it. But there were five boys sitting on the floor. They had to be in their 20s. Instead of playing basketball, they were on their phone.
Sad, sad, sad.
Very sad. Very, very sad.
Not going to be able to communicate.
Nope.
And that's the problem. Yeah, but even, you know, when you try to communicate with young ones like that, they sort of have this phase in front of them, like they're not sure how to react or respond because you're not a screen, you're a real person, you know.
Do you know what my mother did when I was a very hard kid to raise, but what my mother did was any time I did something wrong, which was often, at the end of the school day, she used to actually have at 3 o'clock, she used to bring the chair by the phone, because the principal was going to call, so she may as well be comfortable. That was always a joke in my house. But what my mother did was, it's true, but what my mother did was any time I did something wrong, she took me to the person's house. She made me ring the bell, and she would say, by the way, my daughter has something to tell you. And I would have to apologize to the person, sir, ma'am, whoever, and I did the dialogue by myself. And I tell you something. My mother made me earn my social skills. She made me put me in front of people.
Yeah.
You do the talking.
Right.
If you're big enough to make the mistake, you're big enough to apologize.
Right.
And
that's
it. Yeah.
Kudos
to Mama.
Mom.
Yeah.
Really.
Well, she had it. She was tired of saying sorry.
What did you do, girl? What did you do?
Everything. Everything you could name. It was just my mother got tired of grounding me because then she realized she grounds me. I'm in the house with her. So she would always
want that.
Go back out. Go back out.
Oh, I love it. That's funny.
This is the time of the show where we're not going to tell the guests to go plug, but I want Patty to say something, but Nancy, I want you to talk about everything that's going on with this wonderful product. And Patty, don't you leave because you have something to say too. Go, Nancy.
Okay.
Okay, so finally, I think everybody that the Belcore Body Buffer will be arriving in August. Yes,
yay.
I hope, you know, from my lips to. So, and anyway, you can go to Belcore.com and we can put you on the wait list and you'll be able to order once the units are in and we will email you. Thank you so much for having me on, you two.
Oh,
thank you.
Three.
Patty, I think, had 3 of her poems in a book that's coming out. Patty, am I misspeaking? What?
Yeah, no, it's just been released.
Okay.
It's called Unlocking the Word, and it's a compilation. It's like supposedly one of the, like, you know, single most largest compilation of found poetry from across the country. I'm just so honored that they, you know, they picked mine to be in it because they were very, and what was to me, I just did it as a an exercise,
mm-hmm.
because the whole premise is you create a poem out of something that's not a poem,
mm-hmm.
but you don't alter it. You put it in a poetic form. So it really, it informs the way that you look at things, the way you read things. You know, it's a very interesting exercise. And so you could submit up to five. I submitted three. And the professor wrote back. He's like a literary teacher and poet in residence at Fairfield University, and then it's been published by Lamar University Press, which is kind of cool. But I picked three very different things, and he goes, "I like all three." The first one I did was an excerpt from Harvey Weinstein's Non-Apology.
I remember that. Yep.
The second one I did was actually a Twitter flurry. In Europe about when Nutella changed their recipe. And then the third one was when I was researching the Armistice Day poem, where I did that big epic poem about excerpts from letters home from the battlefield, different wars, from the Civil War on. I read an article in the UK about a family that was clearing out an old family house, and they found a trunk. And inside the trunk was a letter written by their great-great-grandfather over 100 years ago.
Wow.
From the battlefield. But I didn't excerpt the letter from the battlefield. I excerpted about them finding this letter because the way it was put was – so it was kind of very different and cool. And
really?
Sort of,
three? Very
yeah.
Totally,
yeah.
Totally different.
Yeah.
But it's,
wow,
it's really kind
great.
Of fun because you start looking at things like, could that be a – you know, kind of a fun mindset when you're doing it and informing. Everything you look at for a while.
Yeah.
And then I just found out I had another poem for next year's release in the I think it's called, what's it called, Mark's Corner? It's the Mark Twain's annual, Mark Twain House annual anthology. So I'm pretty jazzed about that, too.
Now you just
congratulations.
Damn
it. Yes.
Sorry.
Thank you.
And me and Elite, what are we doing? We're doing nothing. Elite's taking pictures of me. I'm posing. That's it.
Oh.
Well, thank you, ladies.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, my God. Always.
It's been
always.
A pleasure.
Next time, next month, same time, ladies. Thank you so much. Nancy, we love you. Patty, we love you.
Love you guys.
Thanks so much.
And all the information will be on a page tomorrow. Thanks again, guys.
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Love you. Bye. Everybody's doing something but us. What are we doing?
Are you kidding me?
I love it. But isn't that great?
Yes, definitely.
And poor Nancy, you know what? My heart was breaking for Nancy because you think about she was obviously sleep-deprived, jumping time zones, and then you can't sleep because you skeeve, and you can't.
I would have been in hell.
And that's the whole thing. You're just like, you want to be home.
What do you do?
You want to be home.
Well, then, you know,
and God bless her. You know,
she's just like,
okay, I'm just going to do it. I'm there, and that's what she did. And Patty, that's pretty cool. So
she's very cool.
You know, and I didn't know the Mark Twain thing. I didn't know anything about that. I just knew about the other ones. Well, that's good. Well, we're proud. We hang
very
out
with, proud.
With, yes. with cool people. Like I said, Lee takes nice pictures of me.
Not only of you.
Well, why don't you give a little shout out, my dear?
To what?
Your website, your Instagram.
Oh.
What about that?
Well, why don't you do it for me? I'm embarrassed. I'm not like one person to.
Okay, now let me tell you something. Whether or not you know. Elite's a great portrait photographer. She doesn't think so, but her strongest suit is definitely real estate,
architecture, landscape,
interiors, exteriors. She does it all in a one clean shot. So if you are a broker and you're listening now and you want to close quicker, you're going to close quicker with the right picture serving you because it is curb appeal to the door. Elite Photography,
347-646-247-9444. Instagram is Elite
Photography. Well, go to Elise Eagleman, EliteZPhotography.com.
It used to be... It used to be Elite New York, right? Elite Photography New York at one point?
That's my Instagram.
Yeah, that's what I was talking about.
Oh, but I have the website, too.
Oh, tell me the website. Go ahead.
EliteZPhotography.com.
Oh, didn't have, like, an additional something? Domain something?
No, .com.
Oh, no. I saw something added to it on your
Facebook. Shooting to sell.
Okay, I'll argue with you later about that because I thought it was something different.
About.
But anyway, half camera will travel.
Right, always.
And she's takes a lot. And let me tell you something. Nobody's luckier than me because I get headshots for nothing.
Yeah.
All she says is, "Well, you know," and I should ask Nancy if she has somebody ever, a photographer ever says to her, "Get your stupid head out of the shot, look softer, move your hand like this, idiot,"
right.
You know, stuff.
No,
like that.
I don't think that.
You don't, but it's heavily implied.
Oh, come on.
I don't think any photographer that works with love. Well, you work with Nancy Donahue, so you're not gonna say stuff like that.
No.
And we take liberties with those we love. And show is over.
Yes, it
Show's
is.
Show's over.
What a great
Thank
show.
Thank you to our guests. Nancy Donahue, Patricia Martin. Thank you so much. Come on.
One more. Crowd out of the girl.
Their information will be on. And we run with a good crowd. Everybody's doing some good stuff. And we love them. And we love you for joining us again for yet another week. Go out. Make it a good day. Make it productive. Think about things. Think about your contribution to the planet because it will live on after we go. So make your imprint here.
And just be kind to everybody.
And thank
other.
You, Elise. And
thank you
for another show.
Thank you, Lori.
And riding shotgun.
No ways.
And making it as seamless and funny and topical and comical. Thank you, my dear. Nina, pull the car up. Take us home, darling. Next week, people.
Bye-bye.